Welcome to the Mind Virus Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is, it is a day. It is August 19th, 2024. My name is Bobby Flood, and this is the Mind Virus Podcast, and I'm joined today by my co-host. No, I'm not. I'm not joined by anybody today. Jordan Bruno is missing in action. He said something about needing to be a responsible adult and missing the most important 3 hours of our week doing something important and necessary, and he's not here, which is obviously just fine because I will now be entertaining us for the next 7, maybe 8 hours. I'm not going to go that long. I don't have the gift that Jordan does to go solo for the way he does, for the amount of time that he does, for the depth and the interesting content that he can do all by himself. No, I am limited to a few minutes, and I need Twitter. I've got Twitter here at my side. And I thought today we could go over some of the ridiculous things out there in the world that I find on Twitter. But yes, this is the Mind Virus Podcast. It's August 19th, 2024. You can find us at mindvirus.show on the internet, where we usually have links and sometimes some pictures or videos regarding, things that we talk about, because you can't see a picture through the audio. We haven't come up with that technology yet. I suspect that's right around the corner, though. I could say something like, picture of Donald Trump climbing a mountain with a jetpack, and the audio prompt can pick that up through the podcast, through your headphones or your car speakers, and generate that, beam it to your phone via Bluetooth or something. I don't know. We're going to get there. But in the meantime, go to the website, mindvirus.show, for links, pictures, videos, extras, things we refer to, and as well as you can make comments about the show. Some of you leave comments. Most of you don't. And that's all well and good, but we love the participation. We love the feedback, so find us there. Obviously, you found this podcast, but in case you didn't know, it's also aggregated on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you get a podcast, you can find the Mind Virus. You can also find the Mind Virus in most Capitol buildings, C-suites, hospitals, churches, universities. The Mind Virus is prevalent. The virus itself, that is. Well, let's get right into it, huh? I've got some tweets here I want to look at, and they're real. These are real tweets. These are real tweets from people out there who want to be taken seriously. The first one is this is an email that was sent out and also tweeted via image form by the Harris-Waltz campaign. This is so wonderful. I can't believe this is real, but it is. It is absolutely real. Apologies for the ongoing chronic cough that does not want to leave me alone. All right. This is an actual email from the Harris-Waltz campaign. Do you remember how you felt the day after Donald Trump was elected? I do. It was election night for me as well. It was incredibly bittersweet. When I took the stage for my acceptance speech to represent California in the Senate, I tore up my notes. I just said, "We will fight." Then I went home and I sat on the couch with a family-sized bag of nacho Doritos. I did not share one chip with anybody, not even Doug. I just watched the TV with utter shock and dismay. Two things are true 8 years later. I still love Doritos, and we still have not stopped fighting. Here's the deal. We can't go back. We can't go back to the way we all felt on that harrowing day in 2016 when Donald Trump was elected, or how we felt throughout his chaotic and corrupt administration. You hear that? You can't go back. And she, Kamala Harris, also still loves Doritos. There was a little publicity stunt where she walks into a, her and Tim waltz into a Sheetz. Sheetz is a big gas station convenience store chain, and they go into one and they all spread out and they're all looking for Doritos. That's how they say it. Where are the Doritos? Because, you know, Tim Walz and Kamala Harris and all of those people, they're just like us. They're just like us. They just like nacho Doritos. And they'll eat a whole family-sized bag of it, not share one chip, not even with Doug. It's interesting because she's talking about 2016 like it was the last election cycle, like Donald Trump is the incumbent. But Kamala Harris is the incumbent. Along with, do you remember Joe Biden? Does anybody remember Joe Biden? I can't be certain, but I think he's still the president of the United States, at least according to Google. But Kamala Harris acts like Donald Trump is the incumbent. And that all of these problems that face America right now are because of him. And you know what? Some of them are. We've been critical on Donald Trump on this show. But Kamala is part of the incumbent administration. She's the current vice president of the United States. It seems like she wants people to forget that. So they focus on Donald Trump and his corrupt and chaotic administration, seemingly, you know, wanting us to forget her chaotic and corrupt administration. But hey, she loves Doritos, and so she's just like us. Speaking of Kamala Harris, there's a lot of tweets and chatter about how she's perpetually drunk. That's the explanation for her apparent stupidity. I was thinking about this a little bit. She went to law school. She went to Howard University as an undergraduate, got degrees in political science and economics. I don't know if that's one degree wrapped up into political science and economics, or if that's two separate degrees. They don't care enough to really look. Then she went to law school at in San Francisco, of course. And then she worked and ever since she's worked in government as a government lawyer. She became a DA in San Francisco, and then of course the Attorney General of California, and then a senator, then vice president. So she's never really had a private sector job. But she did get a degree in political science and economics in the 80s. Which means that she is qualified to implement all kinds of economic policies, apparently. But I've been wondering, is it all an act? Is her stupidity an act? Is it genuine? Is it drug and alcohol induced? I know that you don't have to be that smart to graduate from college. Trust me, I graduated from college. I know that you don't need to be that smart to get through law school. And I've never gone to law school, but I assume it's like every other school. You don't. There's bad lawyers. There's good lawyers. There's dumb lawyers. There's smart lawyers. And then she's worked in government ever since. And I have to wonder if she was somebody that early on the powers that be sort of said, we're gonna create you into what you are today. Sort of like Obama. I think Obama was handpicked and groomed, created, molded, shaped into the candidate Obama, right? And I think Obama is on the flip side. He's doing the same thing. But you look at Harris and it's like, at what point did the public say, this is who we want to represent us? Well, California, which I don't know if it's part of the public anymore. I can understand someone like her getting elected in San Francisco, but she's got elected as a DA, and she was supposedly really tough on crime and drugs and all that, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true or if it... I know she was really harsh on marijuana offenders. But I guess what I'm getting at is, where is the appeal? What's the appeal to someone like her on a national scale? Well, there is none. She proved that in 2019 when she ran for president, and it lasted about 10 seconds. And I know the origins. I know the Willie Brown story and all of that. We don't need to necessarily get into that. But it's like, the things that she says today are so bizarre and meaningless. I don't think it's an act. And maybe she is always drunk. Maybe she's just like one of those people that gets up in the morning and starts drinking wine and never stops. I don't know. Maybe other things too. I think she's high as a kite. But let's get into some of these other tweets that I've been laughing at or raising my eyebrows at over the last few days. This is today. This is not the bee. Literally, the account is called Not the Bee. The Babylon Bee, we all know, is a satirical website. They have a branch or a sister site called Not the Bee, which is real news. This was posted today. UK, and I've seen this from some other sources, but Not the Bee says, UK to release criminals from jails to make room for anti-immigration protesters and mean tweeters, calling it Operation Early Dawn. This is real. The UK is going to release people who are currently in prison, release prisoners into the public, to make room for protesters who are upset about the state of the world in the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom is locking up people for tweets and Facebook posts. It's getting crazy over there. It's getting wild. And if anybody's got any insight, any of our listeners are in the UK or have been over there recently, we'd love some insight. Share that over at mindvirus.show if you want, as a comment, or get a hold of us via email. I think there's an email link somewhere on the website. But yeah, the UK is they're calling it Operation Early Dawn. Make of that what you will. They're going to release prisoners into the public to make room for all of these free speech violators that are being rounded up. All right. Here's Politico. This is today, posted today. Politico. By the way, today is the official beginning, I believe, of the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. And there's already, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the stuff going on. There's already protests and disruptions and stage crashers, and it's a disaster, as we all expected it to be, because it always is. This is Politico, which is supposedly a news outlet. Of course, they're just propaganda regime spokespersons, but... This is today. This is real. All of these things are real, by the way. Politico. Democrats arrive in Chicago as a party lacking drama. They are disciplined, orderly, and united around VP Kamala Harris and, more to the point, thwarting former President Donald Trump's restoration. I mean, if there's one thing the Democrat Party doesn't have, it's unity and order. And if it's one thing they do have in abundance, it's drama. I mean, this is the party that just ousted the sitting current incumbent president of the United States. And by all appearances, against his will, forced him to step down out of the race. Not step down as president, which I was actually surprised they didn't go that far, but forced him out of his reelection campaign against his will. So if that's not drama, I don't know what is. And of course, there's not unity behind Kamala Harris. I think it's going to be a tumultuous week, a chaotic week at the DNC. And in fact, it wouldn't surprise me if all there is drama, maybe some big time drama like Kamala not actually being nominated, not actually officially being nominated, and having her rushed aside for someone like Hillary or Michelle Obama or Mark Hamill, maybe, or Keith Olbermann. Maybe he'll be the nominee. Keith Olbermann could run with the running mate of Rosie O'Donnell, and nobody could tell them apart. It would be like having a built-in body double. It'd be pretty amazing. All right, that was Politico. Democrats arrive in Chicago as a party lacking drama. They are disciplined, orderly, and united around VP Kamala Harris. Just an incredible headline. All right, let's continue on here. We've got this is the Babylon Bee. And I kind of referred to this earlier. The Babylon Bee. Kamala Harris suggests Americans struggling to make ends meet just try sleeping with their boss. Wow. All right. Let's see. Someone called Dr. Jane George on Twitter. She's running for office in Tennessee. She says, "Are you kidding me? In 2022, Kroger reported an operating profit of over $4 billion. Walmart had an operating profit of $21 billion. Costs have increased to the consumer every year since COVID. The corporations are gouging consumers." Of course, people in the, I don't know what kind of chiropractor or doctor. Someone mentioned she might be a chiropractor. I don't know what kind of doctor this person is. But people in the comments educate her on the difference between operating profits and margins and, you know, how the real world actually works. But we've seen that a lot recently, right? This price. Kamala Harris is talking about a price gouging. She's going to make that illegal and implement price controls. And it's like the basic economic ignorance. Now, Kamala Harris, right? She studied all the political science and economics, apparently. Now, who knows what that actually means at Howard University? But the basic economic ignorance is staggering. Price controls don't work. They lead to destruction. They destroy businesses. They'll destroy grocery stores. But just the basic idea of how profits and margins work, as if groceries just appear magically every morning like manna from heaven and don't cost the grocery store anything to provide. It's just staggering. But the comments are well worth reading. This is Tom Woods, esteemed economist. Tom Woods says, "If this is your analysis, you're not entitled to an opinion on anything." And that pretty much sums it up. All right, let's move on. Let me see here. Let me look at my list. So during the week, I'll either like or reply to the tweets that I want to come back to or remember. Or sometimes I just feel the need to say something snarky. So Politico again. This was a couple days ago. Biden heads to Chicago for a hero's goodbye. Like, you can't parody that. The guy they forced out is heading to Chicago to the DNC for a hero's goodbye. And I'm sure they'll all cheer and you know, when Biden gets up there, he's supposed to be giving a farewell speech. We'll see if he could get through without slurring or making claims that he was on horseback during the Civil War, leading the charge up the hill where he planted the flag at Iwo Jima and then flew away in a spaceship. We'll see what happens. At the DNC, this is so wonderful. Yeah, this is Planned Parenthood. All free vasectomy and medication abortions are filled for our mobile health clinic in Chicago. Check back soon. We will share the interest form link again if we have cancellation. Okay, Planned Parenthood is on site in a bus, in an RV, giving out free vasectomies, abortions, abortion pills. I mean, it reminds me of Barbie. You know, you can go back and find our analysis of the movie Barbie. And believe us when we say that these people, the leftists, the statists, whatever you want to call them, are the most anti-motherhood, anti-family people who have ever walked the earth. Killing kids, preventing kids from being born it's what gets them up in the morning. It's what motivates the entire movement. Making sure that the population doesn't grow and that people aren't happy with families. They've got also at the DNC a giant inflatable, like IUD. Is that a kind of birth control mechanism? It's just remarkable. The way they fetishize birth control, abortion, and vasectomies. You can get a vasectomy for free in the back of a bus at the DNC. Like, think about that. Imagine meeting somebody like, oh yeah, I got a vasectomy at the Democrat National Convention in the back of an RV. I didn't have to pay for it. Yeah, I bet. All right, let's move on. Kamala Harris, the Democrats. This is the Democrats' official Twitter account, right? Called The Democrats. They posted a video on Twitter, a little clip, and they captioned it, "The team who took on Big Pharma and won." Right, okay. I'm just going to move right on from that one, because we know how ridiculous that is. All right, moving on down the timeline here, down the list of liked tweets. In the meantime, while I'm looking at this, share in the comments at mindvirus.show some of your favorite headlines of the last little while, your favorite tweets. I mean, we are living through just circus. It's incredible. As I've said, it would be funny if it wasn't so destructive, but it is destructive. But we've also got to find some humor in it. Here's the Democrats again, the same account, talking about Kamala. She's an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment. Right, okay. This is a woman that was, until they ousted Joe Biden and installed her, she was absent from the news and from all of this sort of adulation. They hid her. They sent her off to stupid things, stupid little events where she would say stupid things. And she was largely forgotten. And suddenly she's an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment. The propaganda is just incredible. It's just incredible.
Here's an account is quoting Trump. Trump said, "One of my first acts, I want to close up the Department of Education." All right, yeah, that's not probably not going to happen, but whatever. But the David Levitt, not the same David Levitt who was the Utah County Attorney who traded Buffalo for a kid, or the promise to sell Buffalo to Ukraine in exchange for a kid on a Montana reservation. We've talked about this. And then fled the country after losing his election by like 90 points. It fled Utah, fled the U.S., and now lives in a castle in Scotland. Not that David Levitt. Okay, not the David Levitt that did all those things and was also named in some pretty heinous... alleged crimes. Not that David Levitt, but a different David Levitt, who is an award, this is his Twitter bio, award-winning multimedia journalist, bylines CBS, Axis, Yahoo, Examiner, etc. Anyway, this guy, this other David Levitt. So in response to Trump's quote, "One of my first acts, I want to close up the Department of Education," he says they don't want children to learn how to read and write. Yeah, because before the Department of Education, which was created in what, 1978 or 79 or something, before that, nobody knew how to read or write. I'd be curious, maybe I should have looked this up, but maybe somebody out there can. I'd be curious to see if since the creation of the Department of Education, I wonder if standardized test scores across the nation have increased or decreased. That'd be something to look up. It'd be easy to find, probably. But yeah, the idea that education should be thrown back to the states, which I don't even think it should be part of the states, but if we did that, if we got rid of the Department of Education, somehow nobody would ever learn how to read or write again. The irony is nobody knows how to read or write anyway. Have you talked to younger people? They can speak in slang and emojis. But that's always been the case, right? The old people like me always complain about the young people. All right, this is David Hogg. David Hogg, he may not remember him. He was involved in one of the school shootings in Florida. He was a student at the school where there was a school shooting, and he became afterward this kind of this anti-gun activist. He's become sort of a laughing stock and just a Democrat agitprop agitator. But he, this was last week. He said, "Tim Walz is the definition of what healthy masculinity looks like. Real men don't put others down. They lift others up. Real men don't serve themselves. They serve their communities. Real men bring people together. They don't divide them for their own personal gain." That all might be well and true, but it's not true of Tim Walz. First of all, Tim Walz lies about his military service, which in itself is a big problem. But also, you want to talk about healthy masculinity and what that looks like. Well, Tim Walz is overweight. He's soft. He's not healthy nor masculine. But it's just funny. That's the picture they're trying to paint, that Tim Walz is this everyman. He likes, you know, when they posted the video of Kamala Harris calling him to ask him to be her VP, it was all staged, of course, but he's wearing camouflage because he's just like us. He's just like us. Like they interrupted his hunting trip. All right, let's keep going on. This was funny. This was a headline. Man steals $122 million from Facebook and Google by simply sending them random bills, which they paid. I thought, well, that doesn't really sound like stealing. But there's some context added that says he didn't simply send them bills. He used forged paperwork to impersonate companies that Facebook and Google worked with, which is fraud. I got to hand it to that guy, though. That's That's creative, and it makes you wonder how much how much money are these big giant corporations, let alone the U.S. government, just squirreling away, just squandering, not squirreling away, squandering on just stuff like that. It's like when a few weeks ago I realized I had a subscription to something and I didn't realize it. And I was subscribed to this thing for over a year and a half. And man, I was mad when I figured out, when I figured that out. I was really mad because that's just negligence on my part. But this is like on a large scale. This guy was just sending Facebook and Google fraudulent invoices and they were just paying them. I don't know. Is that really theft? I guess it is. He should have quit when he was ahead, I guess. I bet he got too greedy. I mean, $122 million. That's a lot of money. All right, let's continue on. Here's a journalist, right? Journalists are just the gift that keeps on giving. This is somebody called James Surowiecki. I don't know how to say this name. James Surowiecki. He's the author of The Wisdom of Crowds. I mean, that I've never read that book, but look. If you listen to this podcast for its duration, which is almost 4 years now, you know that we spent a lot of time talking about the madness of crowds. There is no wisdom in crowds. But this guy wrote a book called The Wisdom of Crowds. It tells you a lot about him. Contributing writer for Fast Company and The Atlantic. Editor at the Yale Review. I wrote the financial page for The New Yorker. Oh, good for you. This is what he says. He says, if you think your grocery bills have doubled in the last 4 years, you do not live in the real world. You know, and then the comments, people give him a lot of pushback because grocery bills have gone up a lot. And depending on where you live, depending on the things that you try to buy, they could have doubled. There's a lot of things that have gone up 25-30% on the national average, but other items, individual items, have doubled in cost. And the point being here, he's just the contempt he has for regular people. You know, this is not the inflation you're looking for. Your grocery bills aren't going up. You don't live in the real world. There was an Atlantic headline that said something like, if people are complaining about inflation, they should just stop buying such expensive things. Just remarkable. Remarkable. But this journalist, is just simply untrue that your bills are doubled. It's just like, essentially what he's saying is everybody who has an experience that's different from mine or what I want to be true is a liar. That's what he's really saying. The World Health Organization is trying to make a big deal out of monkeypox, mpox, as they've now called it. we'll see. These pandemics seem to come around every 4 years during election years. We'll see if that's able to get any traction. I think they're going to have a hard time. The Associated Press, the Associated Propaganda. This is a real headline. This was a few days ago. Presented with rise in border crossings, Harris chose a long-term approach to the problem. Man, I hope everybody in the world can find somebody that loves you the way the AP loves gaslighting its dwindling readership. Yeah, Kamala Harris's long-term solution for the border crisis was to open the gates far and wide and not do a damn thing. It's wonderful. The propaganda is so over the top. It's so blatant that it's regular people that are busy being productive and not looking at Twitter and making podcasts. Even regular people are realizing how blatant and absurd this all is. And it's, you know, we're basically being told to not believe our own eyes and ears. Just like Orwell talked about. Here's someone called Michael McFaul. He is a professor of political science, director of Freeman Spogli Institute, and Hoover Senior Fellow, all at Stanford University. He was a U.S. ambassador to Russia 2012 to 2014. He says the paramount objective for Kamala Harris is to win this election. If a press conference helps her win, she should do it. If not, she shouldn't do it. It's just that simple. She has no moral obligation to talk to the press. That's an incredible thing to admit. Of course she has an obligation. She's running for what we still kind of nominally refer to as a public office. It's a the type of job that, it's the only kind of job that Kamala Harris has ever had. It's an elected or government job. Public office, meaning some people even still call them public servants, which is laughable, but the job is public, which means that the public, that's the people, are the bosses. The people are the ones who are supposed to hold these people accountable, and the people in these jobs are accountable to us, to the people. So, of course, she has an obligation to talk to the press. Because she, as a candidate for president of the United States, public office, is obligated to explain herself to us, the people that she is supposedly going to work for and serve. Now, of course, public servants, they don't serve anybody but themselves and their overlords and masters at the banks and the pharmaceutical companies and smoky, shady rooms and Davos and under the pizza parlors in D.C. Okay. Let's see here. We've got a few more here, and then maybe we'll move on and wrap it up. This is the New York Times. Breaking news. Breaking news. Hunter Biden sought U.S. assistance for a potentially lucrative Burisma project in Italy while his father was vice president. Records show. The New York Times is finally realizing what we've all known for a long time, that the Biden crime family is a crime family. It's incredible that now they're posting it. Now that Joe Biden is safely tucked away in the nursing home and is no longer, they no longer need to defend him as the candidate, they can actually do a little bit of storytelling and journalism. Interesting. But I think that headline, the New York Times, has obviously been hacked or is controlled by Russian influence, because that headline is clearly Russian disinformation. All right. Well, it goes on. There's just some incredible tweets out there and headlines. So if you're not on Twitter, it can be fun. It can also be ridiculous. I'm not going to tell you to make an account or not. Here's the New York Post. Attempted Trump assassin Thomas Crooks trained at same gun range used by DHS, Department of Homeland Security. And well, yeah, of course, because the Department of Homeland Security was training him. I also find it odd that all of the pictures in the press of this Thomas Crooks fellow are like from his eighth grade yearbook. Do we have nothing more recent? It's all so bizarre. There are a lot of unanswered questions. There's been body cam footage that's come out from the cops on scene that day. There's just so many things had to go wrong or right, I guess, depending on who you are, for that kid to be able to get a shot off. And it's clear to me as an observer that he was allowed to do what he did. Now, was it incompetence that allowed it? Was it just horrible, horrible incompetence? Or was it something more nefarious? It's hard to believe that that many people could be that incompetent. But we'll probably never know. We'll probably never know, because if we knew the truth about it, we would realize it was probably an assassination attempt by the deep state or the intelligence community. And this Thomas Crooks guy, who was trained at the same gun range by the DHS, he failed in his mission. All right, last one. Daily Mail from the UK. Daily Mail Online is red meat, and they put red meat in all caps, which is funny. Is red meat in the diet fueling the type 2 diabetes epidemic? Eating steak increases risk, claim scientists who insist adopting a plant-based diet could help protect against the disease. Right, right. How do you know if someone's vegan? They will tell you. I don't think red meat, I think red meat is one of the, has been villainized for a long time, and it proving over and over that steak, ground beef, beef in general, wild game, like elk and deer, are some of the most nutritious, healthy foods a person can eat. People have been on this carnivore diet and things like that for a long time. There's data points, there's studies. Ingredients in beef, ingredients in fake beef. There's like 78 different ingredients, chemicals, and all kinds of crap in there. So, to the Daily Mail and online, and these scientists are claiming that a plant-based diet could help protect against heart disease, against type 2 diabetes. I will continue to test the theory, and I'll keep eating steak. All right? Keep eating steak, just to be sure. All right, and lastly, last week, Elon Musk interviewed or had a conversation with Donald Trump on Twitter, on a Twitter space. And there was a reporter, a White House reporter, was like, hey, he was talking to, I think the White House press secretary is like, can the government actually just shut this down? Just blatant, obvious communism. Let me see if I can find that while we're at it, now that I've brought it up. just blatant. Like, just asking, can we just shut this down so no one can hear a candidate for the presidential, for the president of the United States give an interview? And Donald Trump spoke for like 3 hours, or talked to Elon Musk for like 3 hours. Elon did extend the same offer to Kamala. Now, Kamala couldn't handle 3 hours of unscripted conversation with somebody, but the offer was there. I don't think you can claim bias. Yeah, here it is. So, Washington Post journalists ask the White House if they can stop Trump's interview with Elon Musk. Quote, I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue, it's an American issue. What role does the White House or the president have? Any sort of stopping that, or stopping the spread of that, or intervening? it's just awesome. Just awesome. They're just so blatant. That was a Washington Post journalist. But on the topic, Elon Musk, who of course owns Twitter, Elon Musk said, and since he's got access to the numbers, I trust him on this, but I don't know. He says, now where did it go? I've lost it. Let me see if I can find it again. While I'm looking for that, this was a Kamala Harris, a Harris-Waltz campaign statement on the interview. Donald Trump's extremism and dangerous Project 2025 agenda is a feature, not a glitch, of his campaign, which was on full display for those unlucky enough to listen in tonight during whatever that was on X.com. Trump's entire campaign is in service of people like Elon Musk and himself, self-obsessed rich guys who will sell out the middle class and who cannot run a live stream in the year 2024. First of all, Trump doesn't have anything to do with Project 2025. The only place I've ever heard of Project 2025 is from people afraid of it or claiming Trump has something to do with it. I've never even bothered to look into it. But Trump has publicly denounced it, said I'm not affiliated with this. But I could see how a candidate doing an interview would confuse the Harris-Waltz campaign. I could see how something like that would confuse them and puzzle them as to what was actually going on. David Levitt, the same one I talked about, not the Utah-affiliated one, but the same one I referred to earlier. He said, how many innocent people will die because Elon Musk brought Donald Trump back onto Twitter? He asked that question unironically, and I think the answer is probably at least 50 trillion people probably died listening to that. But Elon Musk claimed that a billion people, when you count the live listens and then all of the... Okay, here it is. I'm going to get it right now. Elon Musk. Combined views of the conversation with Donald Trump and subsequent discussion by other accounts is around 1 billion. 1 billion accounts. And this is X, the official X account, said between 7:47 p.m. and 10:47 p.m., President Donald Trump's space, that's what they call this on Twitter or X, these spaces, Donald Trump's space post received 73 million views. During the same period, there were 4 million posts about Elon Musk and President Trump's conversation on X, generating a total of 998 million views. Elon Musk said that he would host a space conversation with Kamala Harris, as I mentioned. And I think Kamala Harris probably saw that invitation and thought, I don't want to go to space to talk to Elon Musk. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up a little shorter, but like I said, I'm alone today. Jordan Bruno is off being an adult. And but as I said, if you've got favorite tweets or headlines or stories out there, share them in the comments at mindvirus.show. My name is Bobby Flood. Speaking of flood, we had some crazy flooding in the Utah County, Salt Lake County areas. Last week, a rainstorm moved through and dropped like 10 years worth of rain in 5 seconds. It was crazy. So if any of you had damage to your homes, I wish you the best in your recovery and restoration. I know we had a lot of neighbors and friends who had some damage. I hope everybody's okay and nobody got hurt. But my name is Bobby Flood. That's spelled F-L-U-E-D, by the way, not like the water. On behalf of Jordan Bruno, I am going to sign off for today, August 19th, 2024. And I bid you all farewell until...